Well, I'll invite you this morning to open your copy of the Bible, whether that's a physical copy or you have a copy on your phone, to the book of Ephesians and chapter 4. Ephesians is right before the book of Philippians, which we've been in this spring. But as Pastor Josh mentioned, we are taking just a short break from our studies in Philippians to think about re-engaging, reconnecting, renewing, and building and maturing with one another. And so this morning we're going to be focusing on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. And there we read this from God's Word. And He gave, that is Christ, and He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. For from Him, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Did you know that different species of plants thrive better together? They grow better together? I didn't until I came across this idea of companion planting. And maybe some of you already know about this who have a more of a green thumb than I do. But this idea of companion planting is the planting of different crops in proximity for any of a number of reasons. Could be for pest control, could be for pollination, could be providing habitat for beneficial insects, maximizing use of space, or to increase crop productivity. So in China, for example, there is this thing called the mosquito fern. And the mosquito fern is usually planted along with the rice because it contains something that fixes nitrogen from the atmosphere, which is very helpful, and also blocks light from plants that would compete with the rice. And so here you have companion planting. And basically the idea is that different species thrive more when they grow close together. As people, we were made for relationship. We were actually made to be together, to have this face-to-face community with one another. And if there's one thing that we've learned during COVID is that we need one another, that we're not meant to be in isolation. And as Christians, we are meant to be in community, especially as Paul points out here in Ephesians, that we are to grow in Christ as a community. You know, we're coming out of a very isolating and difficult time. And no doubt we've seen ourselves respond well and not so well. And so we've probably seen ourselves, whether it's been because of COVID protocols or maybe the political unrest or maybe just simply the fact we feel isolated and lonely. Or maybe it's the fact that we've all been under one roof for all this time together that we haven't responded well. We've responded poorly during this time. Whatever it has been, we've seen ourselves revealed, and it's not pretty. Definitely not pretty. Whatever it's been, as followers of Christ, we're supposed to grow spiritually. And so maybe during this time, maybe you haven't felt like you are flourishing. Maybe you felt stunted, stagnated, or that you're just simply disinterested. Wherever you're at this morning, maybe you've gotten into an unhealthy rhythm, and so you feel that you are digressing instead of flourishing. But wherever you're at this morning, Paul has an encouraging word for us this morning about growing together as a community in Christ. Being isolated from one another as a church community, we know it doesn't strengthen us over a long period of time, but rather it weakens us. We're meant to be in a community growing in maturity in Christ together, and we can't do that purely on our own. We're like coals. Coals burn hottest when they're all together, right? But you spread them out, what happens to them? They quickly cool off. We were meant to be together. And this is the way God designed it. God designed it this way. He's the one that brings us all together. He's the one who is the head from which everything flows and comes together. And he is the one who gives the growth. But he doesn't do it outside of the body of Christ. He does it in conjunction with it. In Ephesians 4, in this passage, we're kind of diving in for a few verses right in the middle of Ephesians 4, but what Paul's been talking about is this walking in unity as a church. And he then speaks of spiritual gifts that have been given to us by Christ in verses 7 through 10. Christ has given spiritual gifts to every Christian, and he is the source, and it starts with the gifts that he has provided to his people. And it's implied in this passage, but Paul is explicit elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about we're one body, many parts, working together, and how no one part is better than another, and how we all need one another. But in our text this morning, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, Paul is going to highlight these word ministry gifts and how they are given, which are used for building up the people of God, building us up, so that then we can do ministry in the church and therefore grow in loving maturity. Well, let's take a look at this passage. You'll look with me first in verse 11. Paul opens up and he says, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. And Paul's listing these positions, and these, you'll notice, they're not individual spiritual gifts, but yet they're positions, and the position kind of communicates what the gifting actually is. And so, for an example, if you were to look up the word apostle in the Greek, it means sent one. And these were those that were specially sent out with the gift of signs and miracles to proclaim Christ, to do works of power, to authenticate the message, to proclaim Christ. They were chosen by Christ. They had lived during the time of Christ, and then they were sent out. But then you have prophets. Prophets are to be prophetic. Sounds redundant. But they are to speak God's word to God's people at a very basic level. But then also you have the evangelists. Evangelists evangelize, right? They share the good news. They spread the good news of the gospel. And then you have the shepherds and the teachers. Shepherds are to do what shepherds do for the sheep, care for them, protect them, watch over them. And teachers are supposed to teach the word of God. I just say this is because so that you can get the idea of, you know, the position carries with it the idea of what the gifting is. God has given them these gifts, and he's the one that equips them in this way to build up the church. God has given these word ministry gifts for equipping and building up the body, and they're word-based. And so they're exercised in the realm of God's word. And so you see this. You see teaching, preaching, counseling, discipling, etc. The list goes on. And the point is this. God loves his church so much. He loved his church so much that he designed it and structured it in this way to build up the body of Christ because he loves us. He cares for us, and he wants to build us up. Now, there's a lot that we could say here, and there's a lot we could camp out on with these positions. They're worthy of a series of sermons on these positions in the church and what they are and how they function and how it worked. But the important thing is for us to realize that God gave these to the church to be built up, to build up the body of Christ. It is his design, and it's still his design. So whether you believe that all these positions still exist, or whether you believe that some of these positions exist in the church, the point is that God loved his church so much that he gave these positions to the church so that he can build up the community, to maturity so that they can then build themselves up in love. Now, I do want to say briefly as we talk about this to bring us back into the context of where Paul was at, that the positions of apostle and prophet, in the way that Paul speaks of these positions, we would say they do not continue today in that same way, but rather they were very foundational. They were for the foundational period of the church. And this is something Paul brings out in Ephesians 2, verse 20. Now, all that being said, there are, you can say, little p prophets. Those who are not necessarily speaking direct revelation from God to God's people, but rather they have a word from Scripture and they exhort people in it. We have little a apostles, those who were sent out. Missionaries, for example, those would be one example. And we also have people that pray for others, and in the process of praying for others, they see people healed. But we also have evangelists. We have those around. One probably pops into your head this morning, Billy Graham. You think of him as an evangelist. In our own denomination, when we send a man out to plant a church and he goes solo, usually he is ordained and sent out as an evangelist. Me as a pastor, Dean as a pastor, we're supposed to be evangelists. That call of Matthew 28, it applies to all of us on some level. But yet there are those who are specially gifted in evangelism. Now more could be said here, but I want to go to these last two. These last two of pastor, teacher, or shepherd, teacher. Depending on your translation, you'll notice you probably have a footnote that says pastor, teacher, or shepherd, teacher. And there's a reason for that, because what your Bible is trying to tell you is that in the Greek, the way it's written, because there's one article before the two words, is that it's a collective unit. The best way to understand this is it's a collective unit, not two different positions, but a collective unit. There are these shepherd teachers, pastor teachers. And that's partly where our denomination, you know, Dean and I are pastors, but technically within our denomination, we're referred to as teaching elders. Elders are like shepherds, and so basically get that whole idea of, you know, shepherd teacher, teaching shepherds of that nature, just to explain that for you. But I say all this regardless. The point is that Christ has given these ministers of the word to the church to help build up the body of Christ. This was Paul's passion. Colossians 1, 28 through 29 says this: Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And here Paul is laying this out, that he wants to proclaim Christ and teach everyone, and that everyone will be built up mature in Christ. And that's what he's striving for. And so that's what pastor teachers, shepherd teachers should be striving for, to equip and build up the body. I liked how one commentator said it. He said, you know, pastor teachers are like the joints, you know, the joints of the body. They're there. They need to be able to move and move well without pain so that the hands can do what the hands need to do. The feet can do what the feet need to do, right? And so I like that idea of how the joints kind of equip the body, to use that illustration. But I'll take notice here what actually builds up the body. It starts with Christ. Christ is the head. But notice that it's not me, it's not Dean, it's not the pastor teacher that builds you up necessarily, but it's through the ministry of the word. It's through what I am bringing you through the Spirit. It's the word of God. That is actually what builds us up. It's word ministry. It's not the person that builds you up, but rather it's the God's word. All these things are used, the means that God uses to build up his church by his Spirit. Now, let me be clear. It doesn't mean that, therefore, we need to go around and just speak Bible verses to one another, and only Bible verses to one another in all situations, all circumstances. But rather, what we're saying here is that we're holding out the Word of God in all its wonderful facets: teaching, preaching, discipleship, exhortation, encouragement, prayer, speaking a wise word, or speaking a word, a timely word in season. All of those things are here to build up the body to maturity. And so, for example, that's what Dean and I should be doing. Dean and I should be doing this in our role. That's what we're here for, to build up the body of Christ through the different ways in which we carry out the ministry of the word. And that's what the elders, for example, will be doing. That's what they're called to do as well, to build up the body, to shepherd the flock of God. But a good question is, what does that actually look like here at South Charlotte Pres, to bring it down to our level? What does that actually look like? Well, how are we trying to do this? Well, it's a multifaceted approach, and it looks different in different churches. But here at South Charlotte, we're trying to, one of the things is we're experiencing right now through the preaching of the word. Coming here on Sunday and hearing the preaching of the word, God uses that to build up the body. But we also have discipleship, where we have men discipling men and women discipling women. We did these next gen groups that we did a year and a half ago, where we encouraged the men through the scripture then to go out and then disciple other men. And we're going to be looking to do that in the coming year, having these discipleship groups where men invest in men and women invest in women and build up the body and then go make disciples of Christ. There's other ways we have sought to do this. Dean and I meet with people one-to-one. We also have team leaders that lead all the different ministries of the church that we spend time with, and we try to build them up and then release them, so to speak, empower them to go and do ministry. We encourage prayer triads where you get together and you share your life, you listen to one another, you pray for one another, for your needs. And these are just some of the ways that we're trying to build up the body of Christ, so that then you are released and you are empowered to then go do ministry. But there's a good question with that. How do we know if we're succeeding? How do we know if this is actually really going on? And there's some principled things that actually Paul brings out for us in this passage in verses 13 through 16 that tell us, oh yes, this is going on. And the first thing we see here is that a community that is maturing is a community that's maturing in vision. A community that's maturing in vision. What do I mean by this? Well, look down at verse 13. You see here, Paul gives the goal. It's woven into this text where we are looking forward to that final and complete expression of unity together as the people of God. We have it now in this sense that we are all in Christ. We are one in Christ. Even though we don't necessarily always treat one another well and love one another perfectly, but we are united in Christ. That's what brings us together. We are in Christ as followers of Christ. And we have it now in a sense, but yet we don't have it in full yet. But the ultimate goal is maturity in Christ as we look to be the united people of Christ. Maturity in Christ as we look to be the united people of Christ. That's the broad vision that we are to be pursuing together as God's people. That's what we're to be on mission for together. But one thing we know is that this isn't going to happen while we are here. It'll one day happen in full. Maturing is a process, right? Just like a plant grows, it's a process. And one day we'll be finally, fully, completely perfect and perfectly united as the people of Christ. But we're not there yet. But it helps us to have a vision of what we're doing, where we're going, what are we aiming for, what's the goal. This illustration has been used before, I think, a couple times over the years, and so this will probably sound familiar to you, but there was a woman named Florence Chadwick in 1952. She decided to swim from Catalina Island to the California coastline. And so she got in the water. She had boats around her to kind of watch for sharks. Her mom was actually in one of those boats, and she was swimming across, and she got about 15 hours in, and all of a sudden fog rolled in, which if you know anything about what happens between Catalina Island and the California coast, that's a frequent thing that can happen. So anyways, fog rolls in, and she's 15 hours into this, and she can't see. And she doesn't think she can do it. Her mom's encouraging her, saying, you can do it. you can do it. But she's exhausted, she's tired, she gets in the boat, and then she realizes she only had a mile to go. She had made it 25 of the 26 miles of swimming across. And so she said later at the news conference, "I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." But this is not where the story ends. 2 months later, she did it again. She did it again 2 months later, and she's swimming across, and the same fog rolls in. But she completed it, and she did it. And this is what she said at the news conference. She actually said she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind while she swam. And that's so instructive for us. That's what kept her going. And for us as a people, as we think about maturing in our vision, we keep that in front of us, that one day we will be the completely united people of Christ, finally and fully, completely mature, having the object of our affection, Christ himself. We'll live in perfect unity, community, and blessedness forever. We need this mental image as we live our lives now, keeping this so that as we live, we know what we're living for and we don't get distracted with what we see going on around us, but that we live for that. Not only are we to be a community that is maturing in vision, but we are to be a community that is maturing in truth. That's where Paul goes next in verses 14 and 15. You know, Paul points out here that we can be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. You see, one of the things we are to be doing as Christians, we are to be growing in the truth. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 that we are either growing or we're being carried away. There's no neutral. There's no standing still. You're either heading in one direction or you're heading in another. And this is a hard truth because when we're not pursuing spiritual growth, it can manifest in our lives as having an infant faith, a spiritual immaturity. Have you felt that? I have felt that. I don't know if you caught Nate's prayer for me as I come before you today to preach to you, praying that I would have confidence, praying that I would have courage. Nate probably knows me well. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But he knows that maybe that I struggle with feeling confident. I struggle with having courage. I feel many times like a boy. You know, Paul has this section in 1 Corinthians 16 where he says, act like men. He's not being misogynistic. He's actually, what he's saying there is, act with courage. Act with courage. Don't be a boy, be a man. And we're not going to get there finally and fully until that day comes. But yet, until then, we're encouraged to mature, to grow, to be courageous, to step forward in faith. Even when our circumstances tell us something completely different, to be strong and courageous, as God told Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Step forward in faith. We are to be growing and maturing. There is no such thing as standing still, right? We're either, in my case, either becoming more like a man or becoming more and more like a boy. How about you this morning? Where are you at in your faith? The spiritual maturity. Are you growing? Have you become disinterested? Are you stagnated? Are you just simply just aren't concerned about growing in the Lord? I want to encourage you this morning to look to him and to be a people of the truth. We are supposed to grow, and Paul wants them all to grow so that we'll no longer be infants and spiritually immature. But you notice what he says? He includes himself in this. I love this. He says, we. Don't let that bypass you. We may no longer be children tossed to and fro. He includes himself in there because he recognizes that could happen to me too. Yes, I'm Paul the apostle, and I'm proclaiming the gospel to you and who Christ is, and I'm saying all these things, and I know all this doctrine and belief. But yet I too could be led away, tossed to and fro. So it's important for me, Paul, to know the truth, just as it's important for you, Ephesians to know the truth, just as it's important for you, Josh, to know the truth, just as it's important for you, South Charlotte Prez, to know the truth, because the truth helps us against false teaching and heresy. Knowing what the Bible teaches is important. We realize that. And it can protect us from even those who are well-meaning. Those who are well-meaning but yet are not preaching or speaking the truth. I remember when I was back in Arizona, one day I was sitting in my office and we had windows. And so one day I saw Jehovah's Witnesses pull up and come walking to the front door of the church during the weekday. And I thought, well, this is new. I'm used to them coming to my house during the week, but okay, come to the church. And they'd come to the church because they were interested in wondering if we would partner together and let them teach a class at our church. And if you know anything what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe and what Christianity teaches, you'd be like, what? You know, you can't teach that here. It's not the same thing. What you believe is very different than what we believe. But the reason they were there was because they had gone around and done this and actually gained traction with another Presbyterian church in the area where they were teaching a class, where leadership had let them in to actually teach a class. And so it made sense why they were there. But yet, it was sad because the leadership had decided, yes, this is okay. Yes, what they teach is either similar or like Christianity, so it's okay. You see, it's important for us to know and understand the truth so that we can act like good Bereans, as Paul talks about in Acts 17. Good Bereans in Acts 17 were those who listened to Paul, but then were told they go back and they check it against God's word. And that's what you guys should be doing today. It's what you should do with me. It's what you should do with Dean. It's what you should do with anyone when we're preaching from God's word, is to say, is that what his word says? And so we need to be a community that is maturing in truth. But not only do we need to believe the truth and grow in it, but we also need to speak the truth in love. Notice what Paul says here. He says in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. See, truth is important. We know we are to grow in our belief, but also we need to grow in speaking the truth in love. And actually, as the Greek puts it here in verse 15, truthing in love. You know, you could use that as a hashtag, right? Truthing. What are you doing today? I'm truthing, man. Truthing in love. Truthing. We need both. You see, we can't just have love and no truth, right? If you have love and no truth, then it's empty. But if you have truth and no love, then it's just cold orthodoxy. It's like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, where he says, we're a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. That's what it's like. You need both. And so, for example, going back to the Jehovah's Witnesses, when they came, I didn't meet them at the door and go, no, 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 thank you. Have a nice day. I said, sure, come on in. Let's talk. And because I thought, always try to have faith that you never know what seed can be planted. And I wanted to engage them. And I wanted to speak the truth in love, frankly. And so I invited them in to talk to them and say, do you really know what Christianity teaches? Are you aware of, you know, church history and your belief, one of your beliefs in particular, and how the church historically dealt with it? There's a man named Arius. There's this thing called the Nicene Creed and everything that surrounded that. You know, and tried to explain that to them and talk to them about it. And of course, they didn't hear it. But I was trying to say, this is why we can't be partnered together. Because what you believe is actually heresy. What you believe is not the truth. And here's why. It's in the scriptures. And so there's an example of how we need to speak the truth, but we got to speak it in love. I could have dismissed them. I could have treated them rudely. I could have, kind of gone into debate mode, ripped them up one side and down the other. But I wanted to speak the truth in love because I care about the people that are in front of me. I want them to know Christ. I want them to come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're to be a community maturing in the truth. And as we mature, we grow up in Christ, who is the head, from which the whole body then grows in love. Let's not forget this, right? That we as a people, it starts with Christ. He's the head that we all need to be connected to first and foremost. And from there, then the whole body grows together as a people that have loving contact with one another. Love is so important. It's so important that Paul highlights how we need to mature in love. In verse 16, the last point here, we need to be a community that's maturing in love. You know, Paul has a parallel verse to this verse in verse 16. It's in Colossians 2, verse 19. I'll read it for you. It's where Paul says, "Holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God." This verse is a good guide to understanding how we should understand verse 16. Paul is saying that basically the church owes its growth to Christ. It starts with Christ. Christ is the one that's actually in us, working us, binding us together, and growing us. So just as the human body, when properly supported, joined, and held together, experiences normal growth, so also the church, when each of its members supports and maintains loving contact with one another, and above all, first and foremost, with Christ, we then grow and we're built up in love. You see, it first starts with Christ, his love for us, how he looked on us when we were dead in our sins and our transgressions, how we wanted nothing to do with him, and yet he saw us, and he set his love upon us, and he drew us to himself. He changed our hearts. He awakened us. And then out of that, we are supposed to respond in love to him and love for one another so that we grow up in love. You know, over the past 4 years, it's hard to think when I say that, I'm like, wow, it has been 4 years since we initially started this. 4 years, I have watched this church grow. It's been a blessing for me to see all the things that were growing on. As I was meditating about this, preparing the sermon, all these things started coming to mind about how I've seen us grow up in love over these past 4 years. I've seen so many of you lean in and help with so much in our church. We've gone from one building to another, and many of you have helped us during that time to move from one place to another, to get set up, to get things the way we need to in order to do services. We've had visitors who have felt welcomed by you, who have felt seen by you, who felt engaged by you, that you're really interested, and you're not just doing this because someone told you to. We have those in need in our church who have felt your compassion, have felt you lean in, felt like they have also been seen and cared for in a spiritual way, as well as a practical way. We have had our life groups. We multiplied this year, and we definitely hit our bumps with COVID, but we've multiplied, we've grown. People are leaning in and learning from the scriptures and loving one another. We've seen people pursue relationships with one another, especially during COVID, trying to figure out how can we get together, whether it's sitting in chairs on your patio or outside in your driveway, whatever it was, you've pursued that. You've given generously. You've given generously so that you've enabled us to do ministry and even have this space that we're actually worshiping in right now. You've put in the hours to help us so we can conduct worship from both an audio and a visual standpoint. Many of you have helped with that. Musicians have worked as a team, rehearsing and leading us in worship. Bobby has led us well as our director here, and so many of you have helped out with the worship ministry. We've watched all of this. You've given of your time to watch the little ones, so that the parents can be in the service to worship and to commune with the Lord. You have engaged non-Christians, inviting them to come and see who is this Jesus. You all have helped us reach the community around us. We've held events, and at those events, you come and you help set up. You talk to people. You've also helped us communicate about the events. You've done so much. You've also done more of the mundane, which is administration, right? The stuff that nobody sees and nobody thanks you for that goes on behind the scenes. You have done that. And you've done that well. You have given us counsel and upfit for this building as we're trying to figure it out. You've advised on legal matters as they come up. And especially during COVID, you have advised us on how should we do our service? What should our protocols look like? And above all, you guys being on different pages with even one another in terms of COVID, you have exercised Christian unity and you have loved one another well. There's so many things to say here, and all these things are an incredible testimony of God's grace. And as I thought about it and meditated on it, I was giving thanks for you all and giving thanks that we are growing up in love. But I want to do something that Paul does, and he did this with the Thessalonians. He saw that they were living in love, but he said, I want to encourage you all the more to live that out, to live in love. And so I want to encourage you this morning, do this all the more. As you are in different discipleship contexts, whether it's life group or whether it's some form of Bible study or maybe it's some kind of discipleship group, learn, lean in, share your life. Let them get to know you. Know and be known by others in that context. In your giving, I want to highlight just again, continue to give generously. Take that devotional, grow in those ways. We want to see you grow up into that. You guys have given generously. Continue to give more and more. And be reminded of your Savior, our Savior, who gave generously, gave his life so that we could have life. And then bottom line is my prayer for us is that we as a community, maybe a maturing community of disciples who go out and make disciples with a love for Christ and for one another. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we are thankful that you have provided means and ways for us to be built up. That, Father, you love us so much that you do not leave us alone. You have first and foremost, you have changed our hearts. You've given us salvation. But then you want us to grow up into that salvation that you have given to us. And so you've provided means and ways. And we're thankful, Father. We're thankful that we are connected to your Son, who is the head. And we're thankful that we are connected as a body. We are united in your Son, Jesus Christ. But we do pray that you would help us to grow up in love all the more. Connected and growing together as a body. Help us, especially as we come out of COVID, where maybe we're feeling lethargic or uninterested, or that we've gotten into bad rhythms. Father, help us to pursue you, to pursue growing in you, to mature in Christ, looking forward to that day when we will be in heaven with you, beholding you finally and fully and perfectly, and having the true object of our love and affection. Father, work in us, encourage us, and may we live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.